Five, four, three, two, one.
International Desk on our go.
The Canadian election has been won by Mark Carney's Liberal Party. Carney will continue as Prime Minister, a role he assumed after Justin Trudeau's resignation earlier this year. The Liberals gained 169 seats, just short of the 172 needed for a majority, meaning they will have to work with minor parties to assess key legislation. Minor parties, particularly the New Democratic Party, face significant losses as voters turn towards the major parties during the election. Despite losing the election, the Conservatives made significant gains in their levels of support, particularly with young people. United States President Donald Trump also loomed large in the election, following his comments earlier this year that he would make Canada the 51st state and the trade war he has started with Canada. For International Desk, I spoke with Alexei Toivonen, co-organiser for Vote 16 Canada and democracy advocate, about the results of the election. I started by asking if he could outline what the election result means for Canada.
The Liberals secured a minority government, their fourth mandate since 2015, and Mark Carney has been elected as the 24th Prime Minister of Canada. Now, there are a lot of things you can pull out of this right away. The first one is, this is probably the most binary parliament Canada's seen in quite a while. I think the last time that both the Conservative Party and the Liberal Party polled above 40% in an election was 1930, right? So in the past century, the other smaller parties like the New Democrats, the Greens, the Bloc Québécois, and Quebec's Separatist Party have all shared more of the power and shared more of the votes. That's not what happened here. I think that means that in the next few years, we're going to see our parliament increasingly dominated by this dualistic thinking. And that, I think, has the very real potential to exacerbate polarization in Canada. We have social science research to suggest that Canada isn't quite like the US. Like, we're not getting farther apart ideologically, but we are getting more efficient, right? We're doing more sorting into categories and party groups. And I think we'll see more of that as a result of this election.
There's been a lot of discussion about Trump's impact on the election. What effect did he end up having on the result?
Before Trump's inauguration announcement of tariffs on Canada and the resulting threats about making Canada a 51st state, and instituting a trade war against Canada, the Conservatives were way in the lead. Everybody thought this would be a Conservative coronation, with Pierre Poilievre, the Conservative leader, becoming our new Prime Minister. 25 points ahead, with an incredibly effective and persuasive message built around the cost of living, the cost of housing, a strongly populist rhetoric that led many to compare Pierre Poilievre to Donald Trump. And then Donald Trump got elected, and everybody in Canada got quite scared about what his threats would mean for the future, not only of our, you know, trade relations, but of our sovereignty, of our basic sense of nationhood. And so the Liberal campaign was able to adapt quite quickly and present a message of having the right vision to respond to Trump's threats. I think the Conservative Party and the Conservative campaign had more trouble turning their rhetoric and turning their argument, which, like I said, for years had been about cost of living, had been about spill the home, stop the crime, you know, simple and punchy slogans that really hit at the heart. And so while you can't give all the credit or all the blame to Donald Trump for this election result, I think his influence on Canada, combined with the selection of Mark Carney as the Liberal leader earlier than that, is kind of, those are probably the two major pillars of this result, right? Those are the two background elements of the context that explain everything that followed.
You've alluded to this a little bit, but minor parties, particularly the NDP, faced significant losses on election night. Was this at all linked to Trump?
It's a great question. One of the things you'll notice about the Conservative ascendancy in this election, because they made huge inroads in a lot of areas where they usually haven't. I'm from Toronto, the largest city in Canada, and in the greater Toronto area, the Conservatives made a lot of headway. In fact, the one riding is that usually would never go conservative. They might go liberal some elections or New Democrat other elections, but they would never go conservative. And when you drill down into the riding by riding, constituency by constituency results, you'll see that there was an intense phenomenon of vote splitting. So if, say, for example, you had a strongly New Democratic riding, like NDP MP Matthew Green's riding in Hamilton Center, there would be some people who were worried about Trump's threats, and as a result, were deciding to make the strategic vote for the Liberals, who they thought had a more stabilizing presence and was more likely to assert Canada's sovereignty than Pierre Poilievre, at least. And yet others stayed with the New Democrats. And that meant that even though Liberal Party and New Democratic Party vote shares were roughly even, the Conservatives were able to win pluralities. And that's one of the ways in which Canada differs from New Zealand, right? We don't have a mixed member proportional system. We have first past the post, meaning each person in Canada only votes for one person on their ballot, and that person is always tied to a party, and that person represents their geographic area. So the vote splitting that I think can be tied back in a lot of ways to the threats from America help explain why so many New Democrats lost their seat. I think something like 25, 30 seats the New Democrats had, figuring all the way down to 7 now. Those who remain are also very geographically spread out. In the Northwest Territories, our northernmost territory, we have an NDP, a couple in British Columbia, one in Manitoba, Manitoba. It's a really catastrophic loss for the New Democrats here, both in terms of seat count, but also in vote share. I think the results for both the NDP and for the Bloc Québécois, the Quebec Separatist Party, was both 6.3%. They both got 6.3% of the total vote share. And yet, because of our first past the post system, the Bloc got 21 seats and the NDP just got 7, right? That's one of the ways in which, you know, the votes that people cast don't necessarily get translated into seats, the things that actually matter for holding parliamentarians to account. If I can say one more thing about that, the NDP now are below the 12-seat threshold required for what's called official party status. And that means they won't have access to the budget that they usually have for things like research or communications. They won't have access to sitting on committees unless they can negotiate that. They lose a lot of what makes a political party a viable force, you know, something that can assert a message and challenge the government and present new ideas and introduce legislation and everything else. That means, at least for the time being, I imagine they'll take a bit of a more subdued role. They might be able to negotiate a better position for themselves with the Liberal government, considering that this is a minority parliament situation and therefore the Liberals are looking for allies. But it does mean for those who wanted to see New Democratic challenges on the agenda of the day and wanted to see an alternate vision presented at committees, that'll probably be missing. Like I said, it's a very binary parliament.
The results also show a trend of more young people supporting conservatives despite their loss overall. What do you think is driving this?
Yeah, in fact, in our elementary and high schools, Civics, a nonprofit here in Canada, organized a number of mock elections, student vote, and their mock elections created a conservative minority government. So absolutely, young people have strong affinity for the Conservative Party. There were a lot of rallies that young people attended, and they were so energized by the messaging strategy that the Conservatives took on. Even though it was the NDP who pioneered TikTok as the platform to reach young people, the Conservatives are incredibly savvy with social media. They use YouTube, they use Instagram Reels, they use TikTok and all the traditional sites as well to get their message across. They are hitting all the boxes for meeting young people where they are. I think also young people can hear in the conservative rhetoric a refusal to talk down to them. They speak in their own language. And a lot of the conservative caucus that was elected this time around are themselves young, up-and-coming conservative stars, celebrities, right? People who are starting to attract followings and name recognition and fandoms themselves because of their masterful use of social media. I think in terms of policy, the Conservative Party was able to hit a couple of benchmarks. Now, I will personally say that I don't think the policy lives up to the concerns that young people have around the cost of living and housing, but they had it in their platform. And that's really what matters on an emotional level, what is that a good vote for? The Conservative demand to end the carbon tax, the carbon pricing scheme that Canada had for years and years, was something they could apply when talking to farmers, when talking to people in manufacturing sectors. And of course, when talking to young people, they were able to draw a through line between the Liberal administration, what they called the lost Liberal decade, and the hardships that young people in Canada are facing. It's a tough time to be a young person in Canada. Suicide is the second leading cause of death for Canadian teenagers. One in four youth deaths in Canada are opioid related. I think one in five single working age Canadians live in poverty, and the rate of child poverty is between one in four and one in five as well. There are so many reasons young people have to be angry, right? I think Canadians over 60 rank as the eighth happiest worldwide, but Canadians under 30, 58. There's a 50 like ranking spot difference between those over 60 and those under 30. There's an intense generational divide that the Conservatives, through their messaging, were able to capitalize.
More broadly, what does the immediate future of young people's political engagement in Canada look like?
It's a great question. So Canada is an aging country. The portion of the population over the age of 60 is growing and is expected to continue growing. The median age is creeping ever upwards, and youth voter turnout rates remain low pretty much across the board. I think we will see an increase in this election when those age disaggregated results come in. But even if that does happen, the overall trend has been decline. And all of this means that unless we act, unless we do something, the voices of young people will be increasingly drowned out in our civic life. Now, there are some promising moves I can speak to. The campaign to allow 16 and 17-year-olds to vote is gaining a lot of traction. In British Columbia, our westernmost province, there's a special committee that will be studying this. In the Northwest Territories, their chief electoral officer just recommended this change. There was a bill in the House of Commons a couple of years ago that attracted a great deal of strong multi-partisan support, and local councils all over the place are endorsing this initiative. Civic engagement and education campaigns, like From Civics, Apathy is Boring, New Majority, and other youth-led organizations, youth-affiliated organizations, are trying to turn the tide by connecting young people to the resources and information they need to feel confident in their decisions. With the combined force of institutional and systemic changes, along with the role of nonprofits and advocates to fill the gaps, I think we'll see a resurgence of youth engagement. I'm not one to doubt young people, and I expect we'll see young people rise to the occasion, given the immense challenges facing them.
That was Vote 16 Canada's and democracy advocate Alexei Toivonen on the results of the Canadian election, including what they say about young people, Canada's voting system, and Trump.
International Desk on 95 BFM.